Welcome to the Basketball Index Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor, and today we're talking about something near and dear to my heart. We're talking about killing field goal percentage. So I've been doing a lot of research for an article I'm writing. It's about basically the history of efficiency stats, shooting stats in basketball, and obviously it all starts with field goal percentage. However, times have changed. We are no longer in the Stone Ages. We're no longer getting basketballs out of peach baskets, so it's time for field goal percentage to go. So just a quick disclaimer, rant incoming. This is going to be a rant more than an episode, but this has been really grinding my gears. So we've seen this in other sports. There was the Kill the Win campaign in baseball because basically, this is a little different story, but it didn't have to do with how well you pitched, whether or not you recorded a win or a loss, because you could give up 5 runs, but if your team scored 10 runs, you would get the win, or you could give up 1 run over 9 innings and get a loss because your team didn't score. So eventually, all the baseball nerds were like, this stat makes no sense. We're basing like everything we believe on this stat. The first thing they would bring up when they talked about pitchers was their win-loss record, where it just didn't make any sense to do. And they continued that. They started to look at batting average. And it's not that batting average is useless, but batting average is, we'll say, like half of the equation. Because in baseball, when you go up, you can get a hit, you can walk, or you can make an out. You can also get hit by a pitch. That doesn't happen very often. But on base percentage is a much better measurement of a player because you're tracking basically how many outs you make versus how many times you don't make an out. So in baseball, they've wised up to this. It took a long time. They had to break down a lot of doors, but they were able to change things for the better. In basketball, it is maddening to me. It is insane that people are still using field goal percentage. I remember one time I made a Reddit account and I was on the NBA Reddit page and I made a post and I was like, hey, you know, it's great that people make these posts that highlight players' crazy stat lines for games. Because, you know, it was when like Russell Westbrook was averaging like a triple-double. So it would be like 28 points, 14 rebounds, and 13 assists on whatever, 48% field goal percentage. And I was like, this is great. It's information. There's some storylines here. It catches you up on the league. Appreciate the posts. However, I don't understand why we're using field goal percentage because it makes no sense to use. And I was attacked by so many people that I just deleted the post. I was like, oh, there's no point here. There's not, this is pointless. So I'm trying from a different avenue. I'm trying via my podcast, but field goal percentage just makes zero sense to use. So back when basketball originally started, it didn't make sense because there wasn't a 3-point line where no matter where you shot the ball on the court, you got 2 points. So just measuring how many shots went in the basket that you attempted, that made a lot of sense on face, right? At the beginning of time, that makes sense. 1980 comes along, they introduce a 3-point line, and all of the sudden, it does not make sense. And it wasn't a huge deal because just nobody was taking that many threes in the 80s and 90s. And as time progressed, even in the 2000s, you started to have specialists where like you had a 3-point specialist where when he came in the game, pretty much all he was doing was attempting 3-pointers. And the problem is you can make more shots from three, or sorry, you can make less shots from three than two and produce more points. So that obviously that's the crux of the problem where you could have a higher field goal percentage, but you could be producing less points. I remember at one point Russell Westbrook was really struggling and someone made a post and they were like, his field goal percentage is higher than Steph Curry's. I don't know what everyone's complaining about. And my brother sent that to me. And I was like, oh, no. This is misinformation. And I'm trying to combat it. I'm trying to combat it right now. There's so many better ways to measure a player's efficiency than field goal percentage. It just makes no sense to use. There's effective field goal percentage, which it's the same thing. It just weights a three as 1.5 makes compared to a 2, right? Because you're getting 3 points instead of 2. So effective field goal percentage just eliminates that problem. And there's, you know, I could go down the line, right? There's true shooting percentage, which takes those two things. It also takes your free throws into account to get a better picture of your efficiency. And then there's points per possession, which are all three of those things. And it also takes into account turnovers. So like as you move further and further along, you can get more advanced stats that do a better job of illustrating the point you're trying to get to. Because you're trying to find out, if you're looking at field goal percentage, you're interested in efficiency. And I remember Gilbert Arenas got a lot of crazy takes, has a lot of bad opinions. And he was talking about basically you could take if you took like 100 shots and you made 34 threes, that was worse basketball than if you made 50 twos. And the difference in math was you got 102 points out of the threes and you got 100 points out of the twos. And he's like, it's more points, but it's worse basketball. And it was like, well, I don't know if you know what the end game here is, Gilbert. I know you played in the league, but like, I don't know. What do you think the point at the end of the game is, to have more points or better basketball? So the point is, field goal percentage is a useless stat. It just doesn't make any sense to use. You can look at like Steph Curry this year. He's attempting more three pointers than he has two pointers. If you look at his field goal percentage, it's not very good. It's below average. I almost started yelling. Steph Curry, king of efficiency, is below average in field goal percentage. The most efficient player to basically ever play the game. Why would you continue to use this stat? It just makes no sense. It makes no sense. If I didn't have roommates right now, I'd be yelling. It makes no sense. I cannot wrap my head around people that choose to continue to use this stat. If you don't know about the other stats, that's fine. But I know for a fact there are people, I've had conversations where I'm like, you should just use this stat. It's just better math. It just calculates what you want to know better. It does it for you. And they still won't do it. It's the classic, like trying to get people to vote for a new thing. You just can't get them to do it. They just refuse. But man, field goal percentage, just an absolutely useless stat. I think it is the most useless stat because not only it's misleading. That's really the worst part about it. It doesn't even measure what you want it to measure. Because again, Steph Curry below average in efficiency this year. But as soon as you swap to effective field goal percentage and you start crediting him for the things he's doing, he jumps, I think it's like 10 percentage points in terms of, he's like 5% worse than league average in field goal percentage, and he's 5 or 6% better in true shooting or effective field goal percentage. They're pretty much the same because he doesn't take a lot of free throws. And it's one of those things where it's like you could be 10% wrong or you could just be 10% more right if you switched over to a new stat. And still people, they won't do it. I just don't understand. Need some cleansing breaths. I hate field goal percentage. I hate it. It's the worst. All right, so that rant got me thinking about what stats I think are useful, what stats I don't think are useful. So I'm going to pull up a basketball reference box score, and I am going to go through it, and I'm going to assign a letter grade, A, B, C, D, F, on whether I think they're important or not, C being average. So we pulled up Rudy Gobert's page. So games played, I'm going to say that's like a B stat. That's pretty useful to know if a player is playing a lot, because if they're never playing more than like 50 games in a season, that is important to know. It will help tell you the story of the player's career, whether they're, you know, injury prone, having issues like that. So games played, useful. Game started, F. Don't care about that at all. That's very team dependent, and I could not care less about that. Minutes played, I would say this is like a C plus stat. Again, this is useful along with games played. So minutes played just more or less tell you a player's role. If they're over 35 minutes a game, that's a star role. If they're over like 27 minutes a game, they're either a starter or they're really legitly in the rotation. And then under 20 minutes a game, they're really not playing a ton on the team. They're not a super valuable piece. So another reason that minutes can be important, if someone's like in the low 20s, like 22, 23 minutes a game, and their per 75 stats are really good, that is useful to know. Because you're like, oh, maybe this player should be carving out a bigger role. Because if you're playing with kind of those lower end minutes, your other, like your points, your rebounds, assists, they're never going to stack up to star players because you're just not playing enough. You can't accumulate enough. So minutes played is definitely useful. Field goals made, I don't really look at this at all. Field goal attempts, this can be useful for looking at stars when a guy gets to 18, 19, 20 points a game, or sorry, 20 attempts a game. That can be useful just understanding like how much shot diet he's taking in. It's not the end of the world. It's maybe like a C stat, but I do look at that every once in a while, more so for like tippy top players, like top 25, maybe top 30 players. After that, field goal percentage, if you miss the 8-minute rant, F, I don't look at that in any way. Three-pointers made, maybe like a C. This is useful to know. The reason you would be like, that seems like a really important stat. The reason that I don't really look at this stat, it's not a bad stat, but I more look at three-pointers attempted. That's a much more important stat to me. And then I also look at three-point percentage. And then because I value those stats so much, I can kind of have an understanding of how many threes they're making because you just kind of do the math out. So three-pointers made, maybe like a C. Three-pointers attempted, that's an A stat. Super important to know because if you're taking less than three threes a game, your three-point shooting has basically no impact on the game. If you're taking three or four, maybe five, you're probably an off-ball player that offers some amount of value in your three-point shooting, depending on how effective it is. And then if you can ramp that up to like 7, 8, 9, 10 attempts a game, that's super crazy volume. Normally, if you're taking 9 threes a game, you're not going to be bad at it because you just would get benched. So those players are normally good, and also it's telling you a lot about how they play. So that's why it's an important stat. Again, A plus stat. Three-point percentage is like an A stat where, yes, we have better things for it, but you got to understand, like, I'm fighting a war of trying to get people to stop using field goal percentage. If I told them to stop using three-point percentage because we have three-point shot making, or it's like, that's just like, we'll fight that fight in 5 years. But the raw three-point percentage is still useful regardless of the advanced analytics because it is what is happening. It is like your end result. So that obviously is going to have some amount of value. So that's like an A plus stat as well. Two-pointers made, I don't look at all. Again, it's the same thing with three-pointers made. I guess it's not a bad thing, but I don't look at it. We'll say C minus stat. Two-pointers attempted, this has some value because if you look at how many twos someone's attempting and how many threes they're attempting, you can kind of figure out their shot diet. So I would say this is like a B stat. It's useful. Maybe a B minus stat. I do look at it. It's not the end all be all, but it is a helpful piece of information. 2-point percentage, this is like an A stat. This is really helpful in looking at the box score. You look at 3-point percentage and 2-point percentage, and you can understand where a player is excelling or maybe what a weakness is. I have the league averages memorized, so I don't really have to, I don't have to like convert anything, but if you don't work at a data company, it's easy. You can just scroll down. This is the most important tab on their like area on the basketball reference website. This is the most useful thing that it has. So if you go down to adjusted shooting, there is a stat profile kind of on the far right where it looks at your true shooting plus, which is, I mean, if you don't like true shooting plus, you probably don't like this podcast because I use it a lot. But what it does is it finds the league average in every season, makes it 100. And then if it's, let's say, 105, you're 5% better than league average. Or if it's 95, you're 5% worse. So you can look at true shooting plus, so just like your overall efficiency. And then you can also look at it for 2-point percentage, 3-point percentage, and then also free throw percentage. So you can look at how many points better or worse a player is compared to league average on these stats. So you don't even have to memorize. Because the problem is, if you start looking at different years or different eras, like I don't have the 2-point percent memorized from 10 years ago. So you just use this because it's way easier to use. Where I'm looking at Rudy Gobert's stats, I can go back to 2014 and it's like, okay, in his rookie season, he was league average from 2-point percentage shots. And then if you look at it this year, he's 21% better. So I don't have to know what the averages are because this does the math for me. But I'm like, okay, he's more effective putting the ball in the basket at 31 years old than he was at 21 years old. So good to know. So you can also look at like free throw percentage. That one you don't have to always compare to league average because you have probably a good feeling of like 50s is really bad, 60s not so great, 70s is fine, 80s is good, 90s is godlike. That's the easiest way for three. And if you're below 50%, like, you're just getting fouled all the time. They're sitting you to avoid those free throw attempts. So if you are on basketballreference.com, go to adjusted shooting, go to the far right of it, and that's the most valuable thing on the website. Moving on, we have effective field goal percentage. This is a useful stat. I would call it like a B plus stat. Again, it's just combining the 2-point and the 3-point percentages together. It's weighting the 3-pointers correctly. I don't use this a ton just because I use true shooting because it factors in the free throws. But if someone's ever citing this or using it, I have no problem. It, honestly, maybe like an A minus stat, because depending on what you're talking about, it can be useful, because this is basically shots from the floor. So this is the most, actually, this is the most important stat, I would say, for what a player feels like when they're playing, because you don't normally count a lot of the free throws into like a player's impact in your brain. Like, you know, that's a part of it, but shots from the field are generally going to sway your feel of a player more, and effective field goal percentage is going to basically show that the most accurately with nothing else. So this is a useful stat, and it has its place. On top of that, free throws made, again, I don't use this, same with the 3-point percentage. It's not a bad thing, but I just look at free throw attempts and free throw percentage. Free throw attempt is A plus. It is like one of maybe the most important stat in the box score. If you're taking 7, 8, 9, 10 free throws a game, you are probably an all-star. I would actually be very curious to know how many players have ever taken 7 free throws a game for multiple seasons and not made an all-star team. Like, I just really don't think it happens. So free throws attempted in a game is hyper important. Free throw percentage, again, another like A stat. This is really useful because, you know, you put the attempts and the percentage together and you're like, oh, the person is doing a lot of damage from the free throw line. Because if you look at, like, it's the most efficient shot. So again, it's kind of the thing of like, this isn't baby's first basketball podcast. If you're not on board with free throws being useful, like, just find yourself another podcast. It's okay. We are talking about the same thing, and that's fine. Next, offensive rebounds. So this is actually originally what made me want to start talking about the box score. We'll do these a little out of order. So there's total rebounds, there's offensive rebounds, and there's defensive rebounds. Total rebounds, if you're averaging double digits, I guess that's something I'll be like, okay, that person's probably a notable rebounder in the league. I think that's a fair assumption to make. I don't really look at defensive rebounds a game, because so much of that is opportunity. And it's very hard to tell the difference between someone that averaged 7 or 9 defensive rebounds a game. Like, I look at these numbers all day, and I just don't, I've never found anything there. So again, not super useful, but offensive rebounds, that matters a lot. So basically, if you're a non-big averaging more than one offensive rebound a game, I'm like, okay, that's notable. And then if you are a big and you're averaging more than 3, that is like a certain amount of like helpful offensive production that counts as something in my brain toward your offensive value. So anytime you can impact your offense positively without the ball in your hands, really, really good, whether that's off ball spacing or cutting or offensive rebounding, giving your team extra possessions, or just getting putbacks, generating points on your own without having to gobble up other teammates' shots. You know what I mean? Because like, if a player shoots and misses, you get an offensive rebound and make it, you're not taking away their shot. So offensive rebounds, valuable. I would say like A stat, really useful. Defensive rebounds, C. Yeah, total rebounds, C plus. Slightly better. Assists are another tricky stat where they're definitely valuable, but there's a gray area. The problem with a lot of these box score stats is there's a lot of players that average like 5 or 6 assists a game. And separating that out, we're like, I always say, if you're a guard and you show up to the game and you play like 25 plus minutes, you're going to have built into your stats 4 assists. If you have less than 4 assists, you really never have the ball, or you just have tunnel vision like a character from Looney Tunes. So Assists are probably, they have to be an A stat because it's the only thing taking into account passing. But like playmaking talent is way more useful at our website because it takes into account potential assists. So the problem with assists is if you pass the ball to your teammate and he misses the shot, that's not tracked in assists. If you pass it to a teammate and they get fouled, that's not tracked in assists. If you pass it to a player and he takes an incredibly difficult shot and makes it, you get credit for an assist, even though like the quality you created was not that great. So playmaking talent's better because it takes all potential assists into account and it takes the quality that you're creating for your teammates into account. So it's just better. But I understand why assists are used. So it's one of those like kind of necessary evil things where like, is there some questionable home team box scoring going on with assists? Like, you go look at Rajon Rondo's home road splits and then you come back and talk to me. After that, blocks, I would say this is like a B plus stat. This is pretty useful. Again, it's one of those things where if you're small and you're averaging more than a block a game, you have my attention. If you are a big and you are averaging less than a block a game, you have my attention, but for bad reasons. And then if you're averaging more than two blocks a game, that is probably... that probably means you will offer some pretty good rim protection. So that's the quick and dirty on blocks. That's a useful set. What did I give it a grade already? Like B plus. It's useful. It's not the end all be all. Cause there are some guys that rack up a lot of blocks where you're like, ooh, down to down, you are not the greatest player in the world, but we're going to take you and we're going to give you some minutes. Cause you still are blocking an alarming amount of shots. After that, turnovers, I would say, what would I say on turnovers? I don't look at this because I more look at the advanced stuff because raw turnovers are not the greatest because you'll basically find that all the best playmakers lead the league in turnovers because they have the ball in their hands all the time and they're trying to thread needles. So it's not that turnovers don't matter, and they definitely do start to matter at a team level. But for me, individual turnovers, like a C minus. This, you're not going to live and die with that. Personal fouls, I don't even look at. D, F. And then points, A minus. Like, there's going to be players on bad teams that score 19 points a game, and that's going to fool you a lot. And every once in a while, one of those players becomes pretty good. But points are helpful, again, in telling the story of a player, where if you're over 20 points a game, you probably have a pretty large offensive load. If you're somewhere in the teens, you are relevant to the team's success. If you're averaging 15 points a game, because you're just a piece of the puzzle. And then if you're less than 10 points a game, you either are a defensive specialist or you're not a very good player. So there's a lot of either ors in there, and that's why we don't just look at points. So that was going through the box score. If I didn't give a letter grade for everyone, sorry, I was trying to go fast. There was a lot of stats here. But this is an interesting episode because one, I was really upset about the field goal percentage. And then two, I found this exercise to be very interesting. I know this one was probably hard to listen to because I rattled through a lot of stats very quickly. If you can, go on Basketball Reference. Oh, it's, I guess it's not helpful. I put this at the end. But if you were to re-listen to this episode and you do that, you're a psycho. But if you just pull up any player's page, I went from left to right. So that will do it for this episode of the Basketball Index Podcast. You want to talk to me on Twitter @TaylorMetrics, and we'll see you on the next one.